Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Romans, the second chapter, and in verse 5. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, or unrepentant heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who, by patient continuance in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Now that really goes well with what we've been ministering on Sunday about continuing in the faith. You know, once we have believed in the saving grace of God, we need to continue in that faith. Well, we see that right here, don't we? He says in verse 7, eternal life to who? To who? Now this is the New Testament. Eternal life to who? To those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory. Seek for glory. Notice this is a key to eternal life. In order to have and keep hold of eternal life, we need to be seekers of glory. Isn't that what it says? Continuance in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Greek or the Gentile. But glory, everybody say glory. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Notice this. Seeking the glory of God, or expecting, looking for the glory of God, helps us to want, it motivates us to want to do good. It motivates us to want to do good. When we understand that by our doing good and continuing in the faith and pressing into God, we will see more of the glory of God in our life. In other words, we'll see more of His manifested awesomeness in our life. How many want to see more of the manifested awesomeness of God? We want to see it, of course, when we get to heaven. We want to go to heaven and see God. But we want to see Him in manifestation in our life, in this world as well. So the glory of God is a big deal. It's something that you and I are to be seeking, and it's directly connected to our having eternal life. And then notice chapter 5 of Romans. And in verse 1, he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we're standing in hope of the glory of God. We have hope in life of the glory of God. And of course, that word hope means expectation, a confident expectation. So we stand confidently expecting the glory of God. How many people today, throughout your day, you are standing confidently expecting and looking for, pursuing, seeking after the glory. See, that's where we need to be. Because the Bible talks to us like that's normal thinking. But for so many, it's not normal thinking. Many times we're seeking other things. We're seeking a lot of natural things. A lot of times we're seeking the glory of this world. That's what most people are seeking. That's what they are accustomed to seeking. And it's the glory of this world. There are two kinds of glory. There is the glory of God. Notice, we rejoice in a hope of the glory of God. But then there is another glory, which is the glory of this world or the glory of man. Notice this over here in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus talks about it. Let's pick it up here. Verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. You know, you can really break that down to everything you do in life. Don't be doing what you do to be a man pleaser. Otherwise, you'll have no reward from God. Don't do what you do just to please man. And that includes you, because you are human too, right? So we don't want to be self-seeking. We don't want to seek to please man. But rather, verse 2, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, or when you go to work, or whatever you do in life, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. There is a glory of men, and it has rewards attached to it. There's a reward for being a man pleaser, making people happy. There's a reward for working hard for yourself, right? Get up, be diligent, labor at what you do, be faithful on the job, be committed. You're doing all these things, working hard. There's rewards for that. And yet, everything you're doing, it may be for the glory of men rather than the glory of God. And that's where a lot of folks are at. A lot of folks are seeking the glory of men. And it's been a substitute and a counterfeit to the glory of God. And it's such a normal part of this world to seek your own glory, to seek the glory of men, to seek the glory of this world. All three of those things are the same thing. And we don't want to be seeking the glory of this world, the glory of men, but we're looking to for the glory of God. Now, there are rewards for making your employer happy. There's rewards. There's rewards for doing things that win people over, cause people to like you. But you know, you're not supposed to be going out into your day doing what you do to get people to like you. You're not, that's not, that should not be your motive, to go out and get people to like you. Win people over. What we want to do is what we want to please him. We want to please God. Why? Because we seek glory. We seek glory. Not the glory of men, but the glory of God. Notice chapter 16, Matthew 16. And in verse 27, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. So there are rewards, benefits by laying hold of the glory of God. So notice that the glory of men and the glory of God both have rewards attached to them. But notice Jesus is talking about the glory of his Father. That's what Jesus lived for. That's what Jesus walked in while he was on the earth. He walked in the glory of his Father. And we're to be walking, following his example. Now we're talking about the glory of men. We're talking about the honor, praise, magnificence, excellence of man. You know, man has some excellence. People can be amazing. Right? I mean, God created us. And yet, man, even being separated from God, retains a lot of brilliance, a lot of beauty, a lot of splendor, a lot of magnificence. Even though separated from God, not living for God. We see that even the whole creation. I mean, this world that we live in, I mean, it's there's a lot of beautiful places. I mean, you could walk out of church tonight and see the sun setting and it just be spectacular. It just be awesome. And yet we know this whole earth is under a curse. And yet there still is a glory that is still a part of this earth, even though this world has been disconnected from God and is under a curse and is dying. And mankind separated from God is dying. Like we talked about Sunday, you know, like that rose, you cut it from the roots and it still retains its beauty for quite some time. People give them as roses as gifts, and yet they're dead. But they still smell nice. They still look nice. They don't last very long, but you know, they last a while. Well, God's glory was so great in this world when he made it and when he made man that even though man separated from 6,000 years ago, it's still retaining lots and lots of beauty and splendor and awesomeness. But it is separated from God. So it's no longer the glory of God that's radiating through it. It's just the glory of this world. And mankind, separated from God, is just walking in the glory of man. Because the glory of God is living. To have the glory of God, you've got to be connected to God. You've got to be connected to him. So there is a glory of this world. You can walk in splendor and magnificence. You can have praise. You can have honor among people. You can be amazing if you do certain things, you know, if you live your life a certain way, and you can have it by living your life totally apart from God and apart from his word and from his plan for your life. Men can put a glory on you that shrouds you with honor, wonder, and amazement. People can do that to you. People can begin to praise you and honor you, and they can bestow glory upon you. And that's where we have the rich and the famous of this world. We got all these stars, movie stars, rock stars, pop stars, all kinds of stars out there. And man, they just appear to be glistening and amazing and wonderful, and people trip all over themselves when they get around them, and they want to tell everybody, I saw them, and I shook their hand, and I got their autograph. It was amazing. It was glorious. Can be overwhelming. You know, there was a rock group way back when called the Beatles. I mean, they didn't have a good name. But, you know, you go back and you watch some of the footage, you know, of some of their concerts, you know. And I mean, the women were like savage beasts. Oh, they were beside themselves. I mean, they had to put gates up. And they were tearing at the gates. They were insane. Of a Ringo Starr, Paul McCartney. These guys had glory, didn't they? These guys were magnificent. These guys were awesome, amazing, exciting, inspiring, spine-tingling. He would get around a man and get tingles. Right? True? That's glory. That's glory. I remember when someone invited me. You know, I've played golf. I'm not a big golfer by any means. I can't remember the last time I actually played. But somebody invited me to a golf tournament, and Tiger Woods was going to be there, you know. So I went out there. Mobs of people. They're bussing them in, you know. And so I'm there. Like I said, I'm not a big golfer. I'm not a big golf fan. But I was surrounded by them. I was surrounded by golf fanatics, absolute fanatics. And I was standing there, and as I was just standing there with my dad, all of a sudden, I felt this energy coming over me and around me. And you felt like electricity in the air. And I thought, man, this feels like the glory of God. And I turn around, and it was Tiger Woods. I'm serious. Coming over the hill with his golf bag and all his stuff, his entourage. And the whole place, whole place just got really stirred up. And I thought, what is this? Because I knew what I was feeling was directly connected to him. And I don't get goosebumps over golfers. I can tell you that right now. I do not get goosebumps. I didn't even know he was there until I turned around and there he comes. And I thought, what is this? And I'm thinking, God, are you on Tiger Woods? I mean, is this your deal? Are you into golf? Because what I was feeling was very similar to what you feel in a real spiritual meeting. And so I was puzzled about that for a while and prayed about it. Now I understand completely what it is. Men have put their glory on this man because he's a good golfer. They have put praise and honor, and there's people that would give thousands of dollars and do whatever they could to be around this man. They would give of their glory and their honor to this man. And all that glory was on him, but it was the glory of men. It was the glory of this one. And is it rewarding? Oh, yeah. That glory has made him more and more famous. I'm not just signaling him out. That was just a personal experience I had. But there's a lot of folks like that. The glory, just like the glory of God, will give you favor, influence. It will exalt you, and it will bring wealth to you. I mean, you see that over in Isaiah, the 60th chapter. Let's go back to Isaiah 60. We were there last week. But notice here, if you go through this, and we won't go through the whole chapter, but I'll just single out some things. He says in verse 1, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of men," no, "the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." And then he begins to tell you what will be the fruit of that glory of the Lord coming upon you. He says, "The Gentiles shall come to your light." In other words, folks are going to be attracted to you. "And kings to the brightness of your rising." You know, there's a scripture in Proverbs that says that a man's gift will make room for him and cause him to stand before great men. And it's talking about the gift of God, that's on the inside of you. So here he says, kings will come to the brightness of your rising. There's a spiritual brightness. There's a glow. There's a light that's coming off of you. And it's attracting people. It's attracting people, all kinds of people. He says, lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Now, why is he saying this? Well, notice he just finished telling you the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So what he's saying now is directly connected to that. So directly connected to God's glory being on your life is people coming to you. Man, it gets easy to win people to Jesus when you have his glory on your life. Notice in verse 5, he says, then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. And he starts talking about camel loads of wealth that's going to be coming. Camel loads of gold that's going to come. Why? The glory. The glory brings these things. When we understand that, then we'll stop working for a living and we'll start believing for the glory. We'll start seeking after the glory. Stop seeking after the money. Stop seeking after the praises of men. Stop seeking to get a promotion from your boss. And start seeking the glory of God. Because if you get the glory of God on your life, the gold's going to come. Money's going to come. Increase is going to come. And again, there's levels of glory. There's levels of glory. So we want to go from glory to glory. Because that's what the Bible teaches. We go from glory to glory. So, man, we got some glory. Let's get some more glory. And let's seek more glory. And let's grow in the glory of God. Because we understand that if we get loaded, if we get loaded down with the glory, oh, hallelujah, we're going to get lifted up. We're going to get lifted up into a place of influence. And people are going to come to us, and it's going to be easy to get them saved. Because they're going to come to us. You're not going to go around with a little dried up track. Leave a fake $1,000 bill for the waitress. She folds it open, and it's a track. Ha, 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 you were deceived. Ha, ha, don't be deceived anymore. Believe in Jesus. Thanks for the tip. Not a good witness, folks. Not a good witness. If anybody does that, it's not a good. But as we increase in the glory of God, we don't have to walk around with a dried up track. We don't have to go around trying to beg people to come to Jesus. People will come to us. Doors of opportunity will open up to us. Come on. If we're walking in the glory of God, salvation's become easy. Money becomes easy. We're not working for it. We're not laboring for it. Money comes easy, which makes us more of a blessing in life because we're not money-minded. We're glory-minded, the glory of God-minded, right? Not just looking for the glory of this world that brings us the things of this world. We're looking for the glory of God that brings us the things of this world that we might use them to express the life of God that is in us and spread the kingdom of God throughout the earth, because that's what we're all about. So we're looking for the glory of God. And again, he goes on, he says in verse 9, surely the coastlands shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish will come first to bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them. Somebody says, I don't like all this talk about money. Well, stop reading Isaiah. Stop reading Isaiah. That's not my problem. Don't read the Bible. Verse 11, therefore your gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night. That sounds like revival. Come on. The door's always open. You got ministers in here around the clock praying for people, but getting people saved, getting them discipled, getting them baptized in the Holy Spirit. He says that men may bring you the wealth of the Gentiles and their kings in procession. So like I said, of course, this talks about Jerusalem. This is prophetic concerning the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there either. We are the body of Christ. And so it is talking about us, now in these last days, in these exceedingly dark times. The glory is the glory, whether it's on Jerusalem, on Jesus, or on his church, his body. The glory is the glory. It still does the same thing. And it's the glory that's going to cause all these things to come to us. There's rewards with the glory of God. What? Same thing with the glory of men. There's fame. There's money. There's expectation. There's all these kind of things. And somebody says, well, what's the difference? Both glories are amazing, exciting. They all do these wonderful things. They bring these great rewards. They'll bring honor and praise to you. Both will empower you with ability and with influence. But after the thrill of it all, only one can leave you filled. Not just you, but leave others filled. Those that have come to you, they don't just get a thrill. They go to the movie star. They go to the rock star. They go to the golf star. They go to all these different stars. And it's a great thrill. Such excitement. So refreshing. So refreshing. And when it's over, it's over. Nobody's transformed. Nobody's delivered. Nobody's changed. But with the glory of God, when you have an encounter, come on, when you have an encounter with the glory of God, it's not just a thrill. It's not just influence and prosperity. No, it's transformed lives, starting with your life and flowing out to the lives of those you touch. And that's what it's all about. That's what fulfills. Because you see all these stars in the world, and they got it all, but they're miserable on the inside. Marriages don't work. Their home life is a wreck. They're stressed. They got a lot of issues. A lot of it's hidden, but some of it, it's so bad it can't be hidden. And you know, when there's bad stuff that comes to the surface like that, that it's like it's become so obvious, then you got to wonder how many things are in their life that aren't obvious. I mean, if there's that many obvious issues, how many things are not obvious that they're hiding in their life that are major, major issues? Because there's no lasting joy or peace. There's no fulfillment in these things. But oh, the glory of God. Hallelujah. The glory of God will raise you. It'll bless you. It'll thrill you. It'll inspire you. It'll excite you. Come on. It'll cause you to have tingles, huh? Chills up and down your spine. But it don't stop there. It fills you. It delivers you. It transforms you. And it stays with you for all eternity. It has eternal rewards. It's not just fleeting and passing, but it is forever. And that's the glory that we're going after. We're not going for the devil's trap, going for the counterfeit, going for his alternate glory, which is exactly what he offers everybody. Most people are suckering for it daily. He tried to do it to Jesus. We see that over in Matthew. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 4. Somebody say, I want the glory of the Lord. Yeah, that's the glory we want. Well, how are you gonna have it? Put your expectations on it. Get excited about it. Get stirred up about it. Be looking for it. Just like those golfers were out there looking for Tiger. Just like people get online to see their movies and their movie stars. Get online to go to their concerts and see their rock stars. People wait in long lines and have high expectations, and they're rewarded for it. Oh, man, the glory comes, and people are touched, and people are excited and thrilled, and they go out of there and say, man, that was awesome. That was awesome. They get on Facebook, and they're telling everybody, I was in the third row. I was right there. His sweat was hitting me in the face. I haven't washed my face in 2 days. I'm trying to preserve the thing. His guitar pick hit me. I got it. I caught it. Of course, there's baseball stars. You know, you got people that'll give their life to be able to catch that ball out there in the outfield, out in the stands. People have died trying to catch balls. I got it. I got it. Wow. It's a treasure of great price. It's fleeting. It's vanity. It's passing. But oh, the glory of God. Whoo, hallelujah. It's eternal. It's fulfilling. It's life strengthening and life transforming. And it fills you with peace and joy that this world knows nothing about. There's a joy of this world. There's a peace this world can give. But oh man, the peace that comes from God, it surpasses all understanding because it lasts even when things around you are falling apart. The peace that comes from the glory of this world, man, it falls apart when your world goes wrong. Right? Things go wrong and you fall apart. Where'd the peace go? Peace. Well, it shows right there you are building your peace on the glory of this world and not the glory of God. Because if your peace is built on the glory of God, it's everlasting. It remains. It remains. It continues. The joy continues. We stay happy. Because the glory of this world, just like the glory of God, it affects your soul, it affects your emotions, but the glory of the Lord goes deeper than that also. Glory of this world, glory of men, it just stays out there in the outer portion of your life, your soul, your mind, your body. But man, God's glory gets down into your spirit, into the very heart of you. And you have joy, peace down deep inside you. Huh? Come on. We got to stop falling for the devil's lie. It's time to say enough is enough. I'm going to walk in the glory of the Lord. So he comes to Jesus, and he has the audacity to try to tempt Jesus along these lines. Verse 8, Matthew 4:8. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Showed him all the glory of this world. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him. And behold, angels came and ministered to him. Praise God, that's how you do the devil. Stick him with the word. Speak the word. Speak the word of God. It'll cause the devil to flee from you. And then angels can come and replace the place where the devil was. Don't let the devil hang around. Because if he's hanging around, he's got one thing in mind, and that's to get you all interested in and all about the glory of this world. Get your mind and your eyes on the things of the world. Get your mind and your eyes on the circumstances. And oh, your dream home and your dream car and your dream this and your dream that. He's always going to be tempting you and trying to draw you into the things of the world. You want to have the things of the world. And if you'll follow me, if you'll do it my way, you'll be rewarded richly. And you'll have these things. And many folks have followed him. And many folks have found that to be true. They have been enriched with all kinds of of nice things, all the things this world has to offer. But praise God, I'm not for sale. I'm going to go God's way. That's what Jesus did. He made the decision. He was going God's way. This was a temptation to Jesus, I want to remind you. This was not bogus. This Jesus didn't look at this guy, you can't give me nothing, devil, you ain't got nothing. No, Jesus was tempted by this because Satan had, as the god of this world, he had control over all the things in this world. It had been given to him by Adam. And he gives it to whoever he wishes, is how he said it in Luke 4. That was a temptation. Jesus didn't say that wasn't true. Jesus was tempted by it because Jesus knew it was true. But Jesus just decided he was going to go the Father's way. But he was going to get it by walking in the glory of his Father, which required sacrifice, required him living by faith and not walking by sight. It required him to deal with the devil and speak the word of God and put the devil in his place. Praise God forever. How you speak says a lot about the glory you will walk in. How you talk says a lot about the glory of this world, or the glory of God. You can see it in your mouth, the direction you are going. Jesus shows us this over in John, the 7th chapter. Isn't this wonderful revelation? This just thrills me. Not only that, it fills me. Praise God. Thrills me and fills me. Don't throw out the thrill and just say, I don't want a thrill, I just want to be filled. No, take the thrill. Take the thrill and the fill. Take the whole thing. Let it stir you up. That's how you get more. Right? Because when the righteous sit quietly and don't care, there's no glory. But when the righteous do rejoice, there is great glory. John 7, verse 18. Jesus said, he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. See, when you're a seeker of the glory of God, then you're going to be honest. You're going to be true. Why? Because you do good. Because you live by faith. You're living for God. You're living for his glory. So you're going to do good. You're going to be trustworthy. And there's going to be no unrighteousness in you. And when there is unrighteousness and dishonesty and we're lying and we're manipulating and we're not doing things the Bible way, what does that mean? That means we are relying on our own strength. We're trying to manipulate the people around us, which means what? Which means we are seeking the glory of men and seeking through that glory to exalt ourselves, glorifying ourselves with the glory of this world. So we have to recognize, where'd that come from? Why did I say that? And we check up on ourselves. We keep a watch over our mouths. We watch what's coming out and be able to catch ourselves when we're speaking from ourselves. Boy, it sure got quiet on that one. God bless you. Should I proceed? Don't get depressed on me. Just get repentant. You can smile and be repentant. Notice how Jesus answered the devil. He didn't get into an argument with the devil. He just said, it is written. He just stood on the word of God. God will give you what to say. God will show you how to answer. Sometimes I've got to talk, and also on the inside I feel a, huh. And I said, oh, be quiet. You know, to me. I'm like, oh, I need to be quiet. Talking too much. Well, maybe I shouldn't be saying that. You ever feel that? You ever feel that on the inside? That's the Spirit of God trying to restrain you, trying to help hold you back. He'll never force you. But if you're seeking for glory, you'll be alerted to it. You'll be sensitive to it. You'll be on the watch, on the guard. So if an alarm does go off, you go, ooh. Just back off. Not going to go there. Not going to talk about that. We're not going to say that. The Lord's caught me. The Lord's pulled me back several times. My mind didn't think anything was wrong with it. And I go, well, probably better off not to talk about it. We're going to follow him because we want his glory. Isn't that right? We don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. We want the glory of God. So verse 18, he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of God, of the one who sent him, is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. And then notice here in John the 11th chapter, and in verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So Jesus just got an evil report. He got a real evil report. He got a report that his close friend Lazarus was dying. And so notice how he responded. He didn't respond. Oh, what am I going to do? I can't. Oh, God. He didn't do that. He responded by the Spirit of God, and he spoke words of faith. How are we responding to things? Anything in life. Especially negative reports. Negative things. Huh? Bad things happen. What do? You just talk like everybody else? What do we say? How do we talk? How do we respond to things? Let's respond with words of life. Got quiet on that one too. Let's respond to words of life with words of life and words of faith. Because that's how we're going to see the glory of God. And in the glory of God, there is deliverance. There's healing, not just for you, but for our land. I want the glory of God. We need the glory of God. The glory of God is the answer to the political problems. The glory of God is the answer to any kind of problem that we're facing in this world. It's the glory that delivers. Because it's the manifested awesomeness of the Almighty. It's his power and his wisdom, his strength coming on the scene, his goodness coming on the scene, knocking the devil right out of there, praise God. That's what we need. We need the glory of God. So don't just listen to stuff and repeat it. Make sure you're responding with words of faith. Words of life. How you respond will determine the kind of glory you walk in. And then over here in verse 40, Jesus is standing before the tomb of Lazarus because Lazarus has now died. Jesus just finished saying, this sickness is not unto death. He just said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Now he's standing there and the man's dead. But you know, Jesus still didn't give up. Even when it looked like it was over. Jesus, you didn't have what you said. There was no glory here to deliver Lazarus. Notice what Jesus says in verse 40. He says, Jesus said to her, to Martha, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And did they see the glory of God? Oh, yeah. And what was that? That was the manifestation of God's power to raise a man from the dead. Whoo, hallelujah. How you believe is key to walking in the glory of God. And then in John 17, in verse 5, and now our Father, this is Jesus praying to the Father. He's getting ready to go to the cross. He says, and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. So in other words, before Jesus came into this world, he was in the glory of God. And now he was returning to the Father, returning to that glory. See, he was excited about getting back to the glory. And he's reflecting on the glory of God that he had before he came to the earth. And he's thinking, man, I want to get back into that glory. Get back into that glory. It's going to be amazing when we leave our bodies. Oh, and we walk in the fullness of the glory of God. What's that going to be like? Oh, it's just going to be awesome. Just going to be awesome. Verse 22, he's praying. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. Notice, the glory which you, Father, gave me, I have given them. Which tells me this glory is transferable. God's glory can be transferred from one person to another. Now, we know this glory is accessed by faith. So as a person grows in the faith of God and increases in the glory of God, they can impart these things to you. Things that they've received by faith, they can simply impart to you through your association with them. So who you associate with is very, very key to the glory you're going to walk in. Who do you associate with? How many want the glory of God? Then associate with people who walk in the glory. Seek people that walk in the glory of God. Seek glory. Seek to be around and associate with glory seekers. Not seeker seekers. A lot of churches are seeker seekers. They seek seekers. I seek glory. Glory takes care of the glory seekers. If you're a glory seeker, then you're going to want to be around me and come here because it's a glory silo. So the glory of God is in this place. It's only going to get better. I got news for you. It's only going to get better. It's only going to get better. Life's going to get easier. In the world you have tribulations, I understand that. But, going through it and having the answers and all that just makes it all so much easier. When you have the glory, hallelujah, the glory which you gave me, I've given to them. It's transferable. Who are you associating with? Make sure you associate with glory people, not worldly people. You know, worldly people are people that seek the world's glory. That's a worldly person. Why would you hang around with worldly people unless you are seeking the glory of this world and not the glory of God? There's no other reason. There's no other reason. But if you're seeking the glory of God, you're associated with the right people. So our confession, how we speak, our responses to things, our faith, our believing, even when it seems impossible and too late, and our association with people is going to determine the kind of glory we're going to walk in. What kind of glory are you going to walk in? What kind of glory are you going to walk in? Well, if you can't say it, it's probably doubtful you'll ever walk in it. Thank you, Brian. You can always count on Brian. You know, I pay him good money. He does a great job. Appreciate it. Somebody shout glory.
Glory.
Hallelujah. I'm going after the glory. I want the glory of God. Don't you? Man, it's the answer to everything. But the reason why people aren't pursuing it is because there's a counterfeit glory that they're pursuing. Because everybody's pursuing glory. It's either the world's, their own, or God's. But everybody's pursuing glory because we were made for glory. We were created for the glory. Isaiah said that. We were created for the glory. So everybody's pursuing glory. It's just, what glory are you busy about pursuing? Let's fix it if we need to fix it and make sure we're pursuing the glory of God. Hallelujah. How can we make sure? Make sure you're talking it. Why don't you say it a couple of times? Say, I'm pursuing the glory of God. That's where it starts. Start talking about it. Don't walk out of here and never say another word about it again. When you walk out of here, say, bless God, I'm going after the glory. Father, thank you for the glory. Help me to be a glory seeker. Help me to go after your glory. Talk about it. If you don't talk about it, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose this whole message that God, the Holy Spirit, gave me tonight for you. Because he wants you pursuing his glory. So watch how you're speaking. Watch your confession. How you respond to things. Don't respond in the flesh. Sometimes you got to wait on the Lord to respond correctly to things. Find the right words. Do the right thing. And then have faith. I don't care how it looks. Don't doubt and don't fail to believe what God has promised you. Stay with it no matter how bad it looks. And then associate with people of Life of Faith Bible Church. Associate. Come on. Associate with people that want the glory, seek the glory, and walk in the glory. Because it gets off on you. It can get off on you. You might be sitting there, it might just fall on you. Yeah, you know, because you were just in the right place around the right people. Respecting them, honoring them. We need all the help we can get, don't we, to get it. Hallelujah. Thank God he's helping us. Come on, let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord for his glory.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.